Maseches Erechin deals with specific ways to make donations to the Beis HaMikdash. We've been talking up until now in Kodshim about korbanos, and somebody can say, I'm going to give this animal as a korban shlamim, as an ola, etc. And that we have called Kedushas HaGuf. Intrinsically, that is sanctified and it is a very high level of sanctity, and there are limitations and restrictions on that. There's another way to make a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, and it is called Kedushas Damim. It's not Kedushas HaGuf. Kedushas Damim means what I am donating now has monetary sanctity, and that has ramifications as well, but it's on a lower level of Kedusha than something that is donated that has Kedushas HaGuf, that has to be brought on the Mizbeach, has to be brought as a korban. This is a shlamim, this is an ola, that has to be brought for that specific purpose of being brought as a korban. When you give something, you give a donation that's Kedushas Damim, that typically goes for the overhead and expenses of the Beis HaMikdash. So if somebody wants to give in a donation, we're going to talk about two specific ways in our Masechta of making a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. That is going to be Kedushas Damim. It's going to have monetary sanctity. It's going to go to the Bedek HaBayis, which is really the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash to cover expenses in the Beis HaMikdash. And the first type we'll talk about is when somebody says it's based on what the Masechta is called Erechin. Erechin, we can call it value, erech. And the second way is called damim, literally money. And those are going to be the two ways. And before we start going through the Mishnayos, we'll give a high-level explanation and illustration of what erechin is and damim is. So there are two ways that somebody can donate. One is that somebody can say, well, do damim first. Damim, I am donating damim, which means that I'm donating either my value or somebody else's actual value. So if somebody says, deme ploni alai, if A says about B, I am donating B's value. That's damim, is money. I'm donating B's value, or he can say it about himself. A says about himself, damai alai, my value is upon me. He's making a commitment to make a donation to the Beis HaMikdash in either somebody else's value or his value. What does that mean, value? So it means that you actually have to appraise the value of the object of that donation. What's the actual value? You would get an appraisal, and that's the amount that the donor has to make. So that is when somebody says, deme ploni alai, the value of X is upon me. Or if he says about himself, damai alai, my value is upon me, you actually have to get an actual value. What could this person be sold as a slave? What's his actual value if he were up for sale on the market as a slave? And that is the commitment that the donor is making. That is damim. When we talk about erech, erech is something else. It's also saying, I'm going to make a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. And you say similarly, it could be about somebody else or it can be about yourself. For example, if I'm making a donation about somebody else's erech, I would say erech ploni alai, the erech, the value of that person upon me, or I can say it about myself, erech ki alai, my value upon me. But here we're not talking about actual value. When we're talking about erech, there are actually psukim in Vayikra Chav Zayin that specify the amount. It's like a statutory value that states in the psukim how much you're going to have to donate, and it depends on two variables. Variable number one is the age of the person who is the object of the commitment, the object of the erech. So number one is the age, and number two is the gender. And basically we can think of it as a graph, that if somebody says, I'm making the donation of the erech of somebody else or my erech, you're going to look it up on a chart. It's a statutory amount. It's a pasuk-based value. And you're going to say, what's the age? What's the gender of the object of the donation? And you're just going to say it's that set amount, regardless of the person really would have a lot of value on the slave market, if he's strong, if he's weak, if he's whatever variables. It doesn't matter. We're not looking at actual value when we have a donation of erech. We are just looking at what the psukim tell us has to be donated to the Beis HaMikdash. So that is by way of background. And now we're going to start the first perek, and we're going to talk about in Mishnah Aleph who can make these valuations, who can be the object of the valuations. Hakol ma'arichin v'ne'erachim. So first we're talking about the erech value. So erech means when we just look at the chart and we have a statutory amount. So everyone can ma'arich, anyone can make this commitment, say, I am going to make this commitment to the Beis HaMikdash, this donation to the Beis HaMikdash, and everyone can also be the object of the donation. So if a person is saying about it, A is saying it about B, A is the ma'arich, and B is the ne'arach, is the object of the donation. So everyone can be ma'arich, and everyone can be the donor of an erech value, and everyone can be the object. A saying about B, everyone can be B. And in addition, when we talk about damim, everyone, hakol, we read the hakol ma'arichim v'ne'arachim, nodrim v'nidarim, everyone can be the donor of damim, that's based on actual value, and everyone can also be the object of the donation, can be the B. When somebody says, damai alai, he can talk about himself, or he can be talking about somebody else, and that is the nidar, that is the object of the person who's making the commitment, the donation based on damim. So let's read that again. Hakol ma'arichim v'ne'arachim. Everyone is the parsha to be the donor when it comes to an erech, and to be the object when it comes to an erech. Nodrim v'nidarim. And also when it comes to being a damim commitment to the Beis HaMikdash, a donation of based on damim, everyone can make that neder, everyone can commit to make that donation, and everyone can be the object, the B in that donation as well. And we will spell out some examples of this, and the Gemara goes through detail why this had to be listed, which we won't go into. Kohanim, Ulevim, Yisraelim, Nashim, Vavadim, even Canaanite slaves. When it's talking about Nashim and Avadim, we'll just read the Bar Tanura real quickly. When it comes to the woman and the Eved, he says as follows. We're talking about an Eved Kanani. Nashim va'avadim va'isha mishalemesh kese mit alman otit karesh. The woman is going to pay when she goes out of the reshus of her husband. So, for example, if he passes away or he divorces her, that's when she's going to have to pay. She's making the neder, she's making the commitment when she's married, but it's going to be paid afterwards. Eved kishishtachrer, and the Eved Knani doesn't have his own money, so when he gets free, that's when he's going to have to pay it off. Continuing in the Mishnah, tumtum. A tumtum is somebody whose genitalia is covered up. So we don't know if it is a male or female because it's covered up. Andrigonus is somebody that has signs of both being a male and a female. So we can see both. There is evidence of having both genders. Nodrim v'nidarim u'ma'arichim. They can be the ones who makes the neder that's based on damim and be the objects of the neder. Why? Because they do have a value. So even though they're a tumtum and androgynous, either they have both genders or neither gender, we don't know which gender it is, still, nonetheless, they can be noder. They can make a commitment to make that donation to the Beis HaMikdash based on Dami, Vini Darim. They can also be the object of somebody else's neder or their own neder because they do have value if they were being sold on the slave market, Umarichin, and also they can make a commitment to give the erech of somebody else. However, Avol lo ne'erachim, but they cannot be the object of being a donation based on erech. Why is that? Sheino ne'erach el zachar v'adayu nekeva v'adayu. Because if we look, as we explained before, an erech donation, you have basically a chart. You look at the psukim and it says based on the gender and based on the age, how much has to be donated, and a tumtum and an androgynous are neither a male or a female, so we don't have an amount to donate for them. If you're going to look at the statutory amount on the chart, it's going to be my male, female, and age, and they are neither a male nor a female, so they cannot be the object of an erech donation. Continuing in the Mishnah, cheresh shotev et katan, a cheresh is a deaf mute, a shota is an insane person, and a katan is a minor. Nidarim v'ne'arachim, they can be the object of a damim donation or an erech donation. However, they themselves cannot be the person making the donation. Aval lo nodrin v'lo ma'arichin, they cannot make a donation based on damim or based on erech. Why not? Mipnei she'ein b'hem das. Literally, they don't have knowledge, and that means they don't have the legal capacity to make a commitment to give this donation to the Beis HaMikdash, so they can be the B in our scenarios, the recipient, the object of the donations, but cannot be the donor. And in addition, An additional point, pachot mipen chodesh nidar avolonerach. We have an interesting distinction between now a donation based on damim and based on erach. If somebody wants to make a donation based on a little infant, less than 1 month old, the Mishnah tells us that nidar, that can be an object of value, meaning if somebody is making the donation based on that little baby and says, I'm doing damim alai, I am going to give the value of that baby. There is a value in a baby. If you try to sell it on the slave market, there's going to be a small value on that baby, but there will be some value. So that is going to be an effective donation commitment to give that donation based on damim avalon erach. But when we look at erech, if we look at our chart, the chart only starts when a child reaches a month old. So less than a month, there's going to be no erech. The psukim only start at 1 month old. So if somebody makes an erech commitment, the erech of that person is upon me, I'm committing, and that's a B. In our situation, the object of that commitment is less than a month old. There's going to be no erech vow there. There's going to be nothing that has to be paid. Mishnah Beis continues our discussion of somebody who wants to make a donation to the Beis HaMikdash in either one of two forms. Number one is damim, giving a donation based on his actual value or somebody else's actual value, and that person has to be appraised. How much would the person be sold for as a slave? So that is damim, and the language is actually neder. Somebody who makes a neder, that is somebody who is going to donate the value, the actual value of somebody, himself or somebody else. And when it comes to erech, that's the second form, that is a statutory amount. The pasuk says specifically when somebody wants to donate either his erech or somebody else's erech, that's based on two variables, the age and the gender. And the Torah tells us what the required donation is going to be. And in addition, when it comes to our discussion, we're talking about A, who is the donor, and B, who is the subject of the valuation, either based on damim, his actual value, or his erech, his statutory value. And it could be that if A is donating his own value, then B becomes A as well. That's not somebody else. A can indeed donate his own value. What we're talking about in Mishnah Beis is how does a non-Jew apply to this concept? Can he be the donor as the A, and can he be the subject of the donation as the B? And this is based on a pasuk in Vayikra, Chafzayin, pasuk Beis. It says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'amartalem, speak to Klal Yisrael, and talking about Erechin, and you should say to them, Ish ki afli neder, when somebody makes a vow. And in this pasuk, it's interesting, there is language that limits, that excludes non-Jews, because it says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak only to the Jews, so this only applies to the Jews. On the other hand, it does say, Ish ki afli neder, when a man makes a neder, and that is to include non-Jews. It's not limiting, because it says, Ish, when a man, that would include non-Jews as well. So this pasuk is coming to teach us that we limit non-Jews, we exclude them, and we also include them. So what do we exclude them from? What do we include them for? So this is a machlokes hanachri. We'll see the text of the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer ne'erach, that they can be the B. They can be the object of an erachin donation. But where do we exclude them? Because it says b'nei Yisrael, because we're excluding them. Avalo ma'arich. The non-Jew cannot be the donor. It cannot be the A in our discussion here. So they can be the object, the B of an erechin, but not the A. On the other hand, Rabbi Yudomer, he flips it around and he says, ma'arich, they can be the A, the donor, when it comes to erechin, avalo ne'erach, but cannot be the B, cannot be the subject of an erechin donation. And the Gemara explains why each learns this pasuk differently. When is a non-Jew included and when is the non-Jew excluded? That's talking all about when we have an erech, a donation based on erech. But the other type of donation that we've been talking about is damim, actual valuation, the actual value of somebody. So the Mishnah continues, zev is emodim, both of those, tanaim, both Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda agree, shenodrim v'nidarim, when it comes to the neder, when it comes to damim, giving the actual value, a non-Jew would be in the ballpark. They can act as a donor, and they can be an A, in other words, and they can also be the B, because indeed on the slave market, they would certainly have value as well. Mishnah Gimel continues our conversation as it relates to Hagose, somebody who is very close to passing away, the Hayotze Lehareg, and somebody who has a decree of Beistin that the person has to be executed. And we're going to discuss, can such a person be the subject of the vow? That's talking about the be of the vow. So the Mishnah says as follows, Lo Nidar, the person cannot be the subject of a Neder, a Damim, donation to the Beis HaMikdash, because that would be based on actual value, and a person who is a Goses or Hayotze Leharek has no actual value, so cannot be the B of the donation. And in addition, V'lo Ne'arach, based on Limudim from a Pasuk, in addition, the person cannot be the subject of an Erech donation to the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya Omer, he disagrees on one of the two points. He agrees when it comes to the Goses, but he disagrees when it comes to the Hayotze Lehareg, the person who has the decree of the basing that he's going to be executed. So he disagrees on that. And he says as follows, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya Omer, Ne'erach mipnei shedamav k'tzuvim. I disagree when it comes to the Erechin donation, the Erech donation. Why? Because when it comes to the Erech donation, if somebody makes a commitment, I'm going to donate B's Erech value, we simply look in the Psukim and the Torah, we look at our statutory chart, our Psukim chart, and it's simply based on age and gender. One of the variables is not, is the person about to be put to death by a basing. It is simply based on age and gender. Accordingly, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya says that such a person can be the subject of an erechin vow. Aval eino nidar mipnei she'ein damav k'tzuvim. However, when it comes to being the subject of a neder, which is based on the value of B, that is based on a variable amount. Damav k'tuvim is that we have to value the value of the person. And here, because the person is being executed by Beis Din, he has a zero value. So that's why Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya says when it comes to Erechin, we just look at the age and gender, and we're going to look at the age and gender of this person who is about to be executed, and you would have to give the Erech. On the other hand, because he doesn't have value, if somebody, A, made the donation based on damim, somebody who's about to be executed has no value, and accordingly, B, who is about to be executed, is not subject to damim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi is not going to talk about the Goses and the Yotze the Harek being the B, the subject of the vow, but he's going to be talking about being the donor, being the A. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Noder Uma Arich, somebody who is a Goses and somebody who is a Yotze Lehareg, indeed can be the donor, and can be the donor in both forms, can be a Damim donor based on the value of B, and the Erechin donor based on the what the Torah says is the Erech of B. And in addition, the Mishnah adds on umakdish, and if the person wants to consecrate items to the Beis HaMikdash, he can do that as well. And in addition, as long as we're talking about when we have a Goses and Yotze Lehareg Vim Hizik, if such a person caused damage to somebody else's property, Chayav B'Tashlumim, the Yorshim, because this person is about to pass away, the Yorshim, according to Rabbi Yossi, would be obligated, those who inherit him, would be obligated to pay for the damage of their relative who passed away. But as is explained in the Gemara, the Tana Kama disagrees on that point, even though he doesn't say it explicitly. The Tana Kama would say that the Yorshim are not obligated in the damages caused by the Goses and Yotze Lehareg, who is their close relative, even though they inherited the person, but only the person who causes damages would be responsible, but Yorshim would not be responsible. Mishnah Dalet does not relate to Erechin, but it's simply related to the prior Mishnah where we talked about Hayotze Lehareg, somebody who had a decree by Beis Din that the person has to be executed. So on that point, Mishnah Dalet continues, Aisha Shiyotze Lehareg, if we have a woman who has a decree by the Beis Din, she has to be executed for violating the dictates of the Torah, and she happens to be pregnant, so the question that we grapple with is, would we wait until she gives birth and then execute her, or execute her while she's pregnant? So the Mishnah says, a mamtini la ashatelet, the Beis Din would not wait until she gives birth, she would be executed then. We don't have inui hadin, which means waiting out a sentence. It would be putting the criminal under too much duress by dragging out the proceedings. Accordingly, there is another concept called uber yorech imo. The uber, which is the fetus, is not considered an independent being. It's considered part of the mother, and accordingly, based on that, we would not wait until she gives birth. However, Yashva al Hamashber, literally if she went, she's sitting on the birthing stool, which means she went into labor. In that instance, now the ubar, the fetus, is considered a separate being from the mother, and accordingly, mamtinin la achateled, they would wait in that instance until she gives birth, and then carry out the decision of the Beis Din and have the mother executed. And an interesting related point, Aisha Sheneherga, if there was a woman who was put to death, was executed, then the same thing would apply if she died a natural death. Nehenin b'se'ara, literally you can have hana'a from her hair. Now this is not to be taken literally that it was her actual hair and you can have hana'a, because there's a concept in halacha that a mace, somebody who passes away, is asr b'hana'a. You can't have any hana'a from it. So if somebody passes away, you can't then take the hair, for example, and make it into a sheitel. So this is talking about, the Bar Tanur explains, it's actually based on the Gemara, and it's this is what the Bar Tanur brings, although there's another view brought down in the Gemara, but we'll bring this primary view, that this is talking about when the woman who passed away, it's not talking about her actual hair, but she had a wig or some sort of hair piece which was attached to her hair. So it was, they were twined together, and accordingly, that also is considered part of the mace. That would be asr banah. That's considered part of the dead person. That's asr banah. But what happened is that this woman, before she was executed or passed away, she instructed somebody that she wanted that hairpiece removed from her and given to another woman. And because based on that instruction, we see that the person who is about to die or be killed, executed, we see her intention is that that hairpiece be separate from her. Accordingly, this mission is telling us if it fits all those requirements, it was a separate, there was another woman's hair that was attached to her hair, and this woman gave the instructions to remove it and give it to another woman. That's why it says Neheni Bizarra. That's why you can have Hana'a from that hair. Continuing a related point, Behema Shenerga, if we have an animal that is been put to death, executed by the Beis Din, for example, skila, because that animal killed a person, so you would do skila stoning. In that instance, asura b'hanaya, it's asura b'hanaya to have any benefit from that animal. In addition, the Bar Tanur points out, afilu sa'ara, even the hair of that animal would be asura b'hanaya, prohibited to have any benefit from it.